Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. It is Mylon Yurkovich and Steve Arterburn today, and are we ever, ever glad that you're with us today. Hi, Mylon. How are you doing?
Steve, how are you? It's always great to be with you. Thank you.
It's great to be with you, and I have been asked to talk about something that is life-changing right off the bat here. We do a workshop for Every Man's Battle, and you know, we have every month 80, 100 some odd guys come through. For every one of those guys, there's usually more than one woman who's been impacted. Maybe a wife, child, sister, something. And so we've created Restore for all those who have been impacted. And we've got that coming up here. And it is an amazing experience of restoration. Now, what do you restore? Well, if there's a marriage to be restored, that's great. But sometimes that's not possible. And we're trying to restore you and your relationship with the Lord. And I hope and pray that if you have been hurt by a man who has a sexual integrity problem, you would come. It starts Friday. It's in Orange County. I mean, here's the bottom line. If you have been traumatized, if you have been hurt by a man with a sexual integrity problem, no amount of money is too much to get rid of that pain and that trauma. I mean, it's a bargain because it doesn't cost all that much to spend that weekend at Restore. I hope and pray that you'll take advantage of that, because it is one powerful weekend. Now, let's go to the phones, Mike. We've got a lot of people, a lot of folks that have called us, and let's go over here and talk with Michael from Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, Michael. Welcome to New Life.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. I want to try to get through this without becoming too emotional. But
well, it's okay. Take your time.
It kind of goes back to when I was 12 years old. I'm 57 now. And I was raped by one of my cousins, a male. And over the years, I knew I needed to forgive him. And I listened to a lot of sermons and listened to you guys talk about forgiveness. Mm-hmm. The first step of forgiveness is forgiving the person. Well, I've done that, and I felt like I was on the right road to recovery. My wife and I were gone from our city for 21 years. And, you know, for 21 years, I didn't see this person. And, a couple of years ago, we moved back and to help my mother. She has Alzheimer's. And just this weekend, I ran up on him.
And, oh, boy.
45 years later, emotions start coming out. And, you know, your call screener asked if I had reason to believe that he ever did it to other people. I don't know.
Uh-huh. What did you say to him?
I reason to believe. Well, I tried to go the other direction, you know, try to hit it off, but he kind of waved me down, and we had a conversation. But, you know, what I noticed in our conversation is he could not look me in the eye.
Of course not.
But I looked him in the eye, and now I'm guessing I've forgiven him. What are the next steps to take if you run into this situation again? You know, if I can't go the other direction.
Yeah, sure. Well, I'll tell you, I'm so glad you called. We're going to give you some help right after this. You're listening to New Life Live. It's a rough, rough situation. We're going to give you some help right after this.
I am just so thankful for this weekend. It's been amazing to see how Satan messes up marriages in so many ways.
My name is Shelley Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography. It might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
Through Shelley's example, I have seen such transparency. It's just been amazing. I've just been able to let out all the yucky details.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey. Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Orange County, California, March 1st through the 3rd. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
All right. Well, Michael, so sorry for what happened to you, and now you're having to face this guy after all these years, and then you face him. I mean, he as you said, he kind of flagged you down. And then, of course, he can't look you in the eye. And so what do you, I think your question was, what do you do next time it happens? Mylon, what do you think is the best thing here?
Michael, I'm so sorry that happened to you. That is incredibly traumatic. Have you been in or through any treatment for yourself and that horrible, horrible trauma that happened to a 12-year-old little boy who, by the way, still lives inside of you? Have you been through any treatment?
Never, because I never told anybody until I told my wife several years ago. I knew that if I told my dad, he'd probably kill him.
Sure you would.
And I didn't want to cause an uproar in the family, I guess. But no, sir, I never went for counseling.
Okay, well, you know, forgiveness is important. It is a biblical theme from Genesis to Revelation. It is a prominent biblical theme. It's about reconciling and forgiving debt and those kinds of statements apply to forgiveness, and you can forgive him his debt to you. But that doesn't mean you're well yet. You see, you were traumatized as a 12-year-old. You wouldn't know what was going on. You use the word raped, and I'm not even going to ask what happened, but I would have to say that was a horrifying traumatic experience. Now, what happens is your brain is put into a state of shock, and you are that trauma sets in very deeply, and it has a place of centrality in your life that will then affect your capacities to live life, to live, to lead, to guide, etc. And instead of living life, you're living your trauma. And or your trauma's effects are how you present in your inner world and outer world. And so it's really important to take care of you. There's two issues going on here. What does Michael do with himself to continue the healing process? And I'd highly recommend that you get into a program such as EMDR, eye movement, desensitization, and reprogramming. That would help to release that heavy grip in your brain. Additionally, getting into some talk therapy in a person that could do both would help you learn to heal from that experience. Number two, I would clearly if you see him again, I would confront him and tell him, you know, at 54, I still remember that moment. And how about you? And what are you going to do about this? And as our call screener aptly asked, and I'm so happy she did you do that with anybody else? Who else are your victims? And to give a voice to that little 12-year-old is very important, that we learn how to rise up and confront the abuser and to have that voice. And, you know, I wouldn't hurt him, but I would just simply say, you need a lot of help, and if you haven't had any, you need to get some right now. I think confronting evil is important.
I do too. And, you know, I think you can even say, when I saw you, I wanted to go the other direction, but I have to tell you, I was hoping that perhaps you were going to ask for forgiveness, and that did not happen.
Hmm.
And maybe you have never really dealt with the kind of pain that you caused me, and I hope and pray that you've never caused anyone else that kind of pain, but if you have, I hope you'll make it right with them also. And I just think that's kind of the least you can do, and I think it's expected, and I think it values you, and like Milo said, values that little 12-year-old boy that's in there. And I'm so sorry. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you Healing is a Choice. It's going to help you because you've got to do the grieving. Look what this guy stole from you. Mm. He stole your innocence. He stole
absolutely
so much. And I'm just grateful that you called us now. But if you will get some help, they'll help you grieve. They'll help you accept this and forgive this. And then it doesn't have to hurt like this anymore. You can move on. I just hope and pray.
Well, Steve, that's just such excellent advice you gave him. And in addition to grieving, it can turn into a future of strength where you can have a ministry or a testimony, or you put voice to it. And instead of it monopolizing you, you take it to your advantage and you help people who can begin to understand that things like this are tragic and evil, but there's life on the other side.
So many are familiar with Josh McDowell and
the kind of
evidence that demands a verdict, and More Than a Carpenter. I've given away hundreds of those books. And Josh called me, said, Steve, I've never told anybody this. I'm telling you. And he talked about being raped as a young boy. It wasn't part of his story.
Mm.
And ever since then, he has been talking about that. Just like you said, Milo, it's turned into kind of a mission, life mission for him once he was willing to, you know, face the humiliation of coming out and being open about it. And I'm so proud of him for doing that. And so many people have been encouraged by him to also open up. And when we start to talk about it, it takes the power out of it. The secrecy really can make it all worse. And so I hope if you've been through anything like this, you could at least let us start to help you. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and begin that process. And, man, that took a lot of courage to even call us right here.
Yes, I'm impressed. Thank you, Michael.
All right. Let's go to Louise, New York, New York. Hi, Louise. Welcome. How you doing? How can we help you?
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's going on?
I have a 20-year-old daughter who told us a couple of years ago that she thinks that she's a boy and she's transitioning.
Oh, okay. That's rough.
I got her to see a psychiatrist who sent her to a group therapy program, which she attended for a while. Then I was able to get her to see a psychologist who she went to, I think, 3 times, and then she stopped going. I haven't been able to persuade her to go, and of course, because she's over 18, they won't allow me to make the appointments and to, you know, try to make her go. They say she has to make the appointments, and she has to get, you know, she's the one who has to decide whether she wants to go or not.
Right.
I told her she wanted to start transitioning a couple of years ago, and I told her that because I don't believe in what she's doing. She cannot use my insurance.
Yeah.
So she went to Planned Parenthood. They saw her once in December of 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And then the very next visit, they started to give her medication to transition.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
So they didn't delve into why she was doing this. And,
right.
You know, they saw her maybe for half hour or so, and then the very next visit, they gave her that.
Yeah.
Now they've given her prescriptions to inject herself with hormones.
So sorry. What's the question for us, by the way?
She has gotten to a place at times where she refuses to have a relationship with myself or my husband.
Yeah.
Because she said we don't love her. We're not supporting what she's doing. So it means that we don't love her.
Yeah.
And I told her that, because she said her friends who were doing the same thing, their parents are very supportive.
Sure.
And I said, that doesn't mean that we love you any less than they love their children.
Right. Okay, so what's the question for us then? Because we so feel for you, and all of these kinds of dilemmas are to be expected when this happens. How can we help you?
I have no way. I don't know how to cope with it.
Uh-huh.
And I can't make her go, you know, do the things that I feel that she needs to do.
Right.
I want to know, what can I do to cope with this situation?
Right.
I know that I have to show her love, which I'm, you know, trying to do. But I don't know. I need some way of coping.
Yes, okay.
With the possibility that she's not going to not do this.
Yeah. My wife and I were just talking about this, of how what God wants for us is kind of irrelevant if we're not willing. And the world is so confused about this. I was at Focus on the Family doing a couple of programs the other day, and Jim Daly and I, over lunch, we were talking about the research shows that if somebody has a gender confusion issue, if they are left alone versus being told, here, let's start the hormone therapy, let's do this, or if you feel this way, it means you need to do this or that. If they left, the gender confusion will self-correct in 85% of the cases. I mean, that's secular research shows this. Nobody's going to tell you about that. And so it's so, so sad when somebody goes to Planned Parenthood and boom, off they go, and now we've got to start hormone therapy and all that kind of stuff. Very, very sad. For you, this is one of those things where we cannot control, we cannot even influence. And we have to move toward acceptance, grieving, embracing her even as she does this. But you're absolutely right. You can't pay for that. You can't support that. And just as she wants you to accept her, she must accept you and your values that would prevent you absolutely from paying for this or thinking that this was God's best for her. But at the same time, you want her, like you said, you want her to know you love her and she's always welcome in your home. Mylon, what are your thoughts? I mean, these are just tough, tough situations. What are you thinking?
Louise, I think I, like you, I think all parents would be struggling. What do I do? How do I cope? But I'd have to ask you the question, did anything happen to hurt, scare, or traumatize either a big issue or a bunch of smaller issues? What happened to your daughter? Anything?
Yes. Yes. Her cousin abused her sexually.
Oh. How old was she when that happened?
She was 9 years old.
Oh.
Hmm.
I am so sorry. Hmm. How long did this go on, Louise?
It happened once, because we found out about it the same day. My mistake, did not take her to counseling. I feel so guilty about that.
I'm so sorry. You know, we, all of us can make mistakes and misjudgments. But that's where I would start with your daughter, talking to her and asking her, because Planned Parenthood will not ask her why she's making this decision or right. what is the sequence of things that have happened in her life to solicit this response that she's taking. And I really think it's important for us to go back to and stop and remind people of these historical places in their lives where pain was a fork in the road. And there was this turn that was taken that forever altered their life because you cannot change history. You know, to the entire LGBTQ community, it is a part of their code to say that if you disagree with me, you don't love me, you're a yeah. hater, and you're a phobe. And I say, no, I simply disagree with you.
That's all it is.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change. Yeah, that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption, but you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back and we feel this deep regret and pain. And Louise, I hope that you know, maybe you could even say to her and talk about what happened and say to her, I wish I had taken you to counseling and to say to her, I sure understand how you feel about things and how confusing the rest of life could have been. Not that that's going to change anything, but it just is a point of connection for you and for her. So
I actually did bring that up.
Okay.
I actually did ask her if that is how does she feel about that now at this age.
And she would probably say that had nothing to do with it, right?
Affecting her long term. Because from time to time over the years I did talk to her about it and about the cousin who did that. Yeah. And he's still around. They still interact. And she said she does not hold a grudge against him.
But I
continue to ask her. I asked her recently if she doesn't think that had something to do with it. And is it something that she brought up when she spoke with a psychiatrist or the psychologist? And she said she didn't. But I told her, she said that is something you should have mentioned to the doctor. Mm-hmm.
Louise, let me also explain to you that the entire psychological community, it is against their practices to try to influence a person to take on a value that they hold to that is not the value of the client. In other words, they're not allowed by their licenses to influence toward changing the value of a client. And so they can lose their license if they do that. So there's a very strong propensity within that community, the whole counseling community, to not try to change what you think about things if you're a client. And in addition to that, there's this anti-conversion therapy mentality that pervades the entire psychological community, that it would be wrong to try to influence or try to convert the person with these views to change. There was recently an attempt in California in 2018 to create legislation that would outlaw conversion therapy for anyone in the LGBTQ community, because excuse me, because that would be wrong. And so I think that is the difference between the church and the psychological community. The church can say, here is what God's will is and God's choices and his clear instruction on these things. But to answer your original question, all any parent can do here is speak their mind to clearly have their son or daughter look up the word to disagree and to understand that, that disagreeing and tolerating disagreement is a lost art. It's easy to simply accuse persons that disagree with you as being haters and phobes, but that's not accurate. That's not even intellectually something that is has any credibility to it. So don't let her do that. But I would just say we have to accept the loss in our lives. And this is a loss. Your little girl has gone or is going away. And we have to accept that and somehow tolerate it and ask God for the grace and the help to somehow tolerate that truth if, in fact, she goes ahead with this transition.
All right. I'm really glad you called. I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back. I think it's going to help you move beyond this and to develop a relationship with her. I don't want you to be feeling this horrific regret and pain for the rest of your life. And I hope something we've said can help you. And I hope that Take Your Life Back can help you.
It would be so hard, but I agree. Taking Your Life Back would be a very good choice, Steve, because somehow Louise has to go on.
Yeah.
And it's hard.
Very, very hard. Well, we'll ask folks to pray for her. And God bless you and all that you're doing there. Really, really tough. So, so very sorry. All right. Let's take a minute to tell you that we would love for you to join Club New Life. And a way of saying thank you is a gift to you from Mylon and Kay. And that gift, well, we love this gift for videos. One of the videos, pretty powerful video on 12 questions to change your relationship that will change any relationship. Mylon, what's one of those questions in this video that we send people to say thank you for being part of Club New Life?
Well, here's a very counterintuitive turn in these line of questioning. One of the questions is, whatever this issue is that we're dealing with, what feelings do you feel inside? And then asking the person to take on a list of words and to find the feelings that accompany whatever their statement or position is. Number two, to stop and listen to them and ask them, where do you feel these feelings in your body? to really stop and look at the mind-body connection. And people will say, "Oh, my stomach gets, you know, in a knot. I all of a sudden want to throw up. I can't breathe. Hmm. My chest is tight. My ears ring. My body flushes." And we don't, and then to understand, wow, that those are strong reactions to those feelings.
Most of my life I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man, and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me, and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. New Life. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to go to Sally here, Miami, Florida, listens on the internet. Sally, how are you?
Oh, I'm blessed to get through to y'all. Y'all are such a enlightenment to the body of Christ. I tell you, we really do appreciate New Life Live. It's been around for years, and it's sustained a lot of us.
Thank you,
well,
Sally.
Thank you. That's
very,
so nice.
Very kind.
Yeah. Love that.
I have some questions from yesterday's program with Dr. Amon. How the emotional development of children with ADD and ADHD. I have three grandchildren. One's just turning 10. One is 12, and one's just turning 14 this February. And I wanted to see, they're all, the discipline was just exercised with the belt, and as often as needed. I mean, where it just sometimes it was just overdone because of just lack of knowledge, not knowing there was other means of discipline. But it's really
who did this disciplining that, like that? Who did that?
The father.
Is that your son or
son-in-law?
Son-in-law.
And he meant well. He just
and up to what age? What age was all that done?
Probably could have been done in the last year or two, if needed. I mean, it was just it just needed some balance in there. Not with
that's,
all
that's
the balance.
Very sad.
The children were good. They weren't even. Uh-huh. They're not even. They were just good natured children.
Okay, so what's the question for us then?
How do you rebuild what has been lost? They're all in this special needs class. The programs they're on, they just have to, I mean, it's not even like a normal expectancy. So I'm thinking we have to regroup this right now because we've got time with them being in this developmental stages, and how do we get the emotional, they're really precious children, but it's just,
sure,
you can just see the things there that are indicators.
Do you think that they're in a healthy home, or they should be in a healthier home?
Well, they are. I think just putting some light on some of it has been a big help. I mean, it's been altered because of some knowledge and expectancy being exposed. But they are. They really are. But right
what does
now,
that, what does that mean that it was exposed? Did someone turn him in?
No, sir. It's just that that's not the only way that you just discipline children. That is, nobody, I mean, young, good children, nobody deserves that. But okay. I think it's just that ignorance of.
Yeah, so how did things change? Why do you think things changed then?
Because that he sees that that is not the only way that you can correct and instruct children. And so
okay. Well, what's the question for us then? Let's try to help you here a little bit.
A 10, 12, and a 14-year-old, both all three of them. Emotionally impaired, just how do you rebuild these? What was like in there? How can that happen?
Mylan, what are you thinking when you're hearing this?
Well, I wouldn't imagine that the emotional development is going to come, let me restate this. The emotional development will not come from the father or the mother. Because evidently they don't know how. Even though it was your son-in-law, your daughter at some level was complicitly involved because she tolerated it. And so now you have developmentally damaged kids or children who are, and I like your phraseology because I think it's accurate, are emotionally impaired. But they're also, they've been traumatized. And that's another reason why you have two things. You have a trauma that they've experienced, multiple traumas over and over and over again, and it's very sad, but it happened. And you can see the effect. They don't appear as though they're operating normal or healthily, etc. And then secondly, emotional development is something you have to be taught because it's modeled to you. And specifically, the parent has to model that. You can learn it, I suppose, in a class if somebody would dare to teach it, which they don't. But you'd have to be with someone that would teach you to identify your feelings. And that's what good therapists do. They help. So I would say that there could be an approach. And I'm going to go back to something Steve said a minute ago. Have social services been involved in this, Sally?
No, never.
Okay, well, you know, I don't know. There's a part of me that says maybe these kids need to be raised by somebody else.
That's what I was, of course, getting at.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Because there's a lot of damage that has been done. And if, in fact, the belt was a primary way that they were disciplined, and as you said, for indiscriminate matters where they just didn't know any better, then they've had an out-of-control dad on their hands. Now, how do you get a kid in a state of repair? Well, you take them out of the out-of-control parent's hands because they can't defend themselves. And the first thing that I would do, I would call Child Protective Services and have them evaluate that home. Now, the first goal of Child Protective Services is not to yank the kid. It's to provide help for the kid's parents and the family. And so, you know, in California, CPS, Child Protective Services, that's their stated mission. We want to help this family. And so they can require things of the family and that require, because they'll say, we mandate that you do these things to create repair to your family and to your parenting and to your parenting, the way you parent as a dad and as a mom. And so that's what I
think some people
would
even say they err many times on the side of keeping kids connected with the parents. So
good,
I'm just
point,
making the
Steve.
Point that
that's exactly
that
right.
They don't yank, and some people complain they don't yank enough. So, but the worst thing is to, how would you like to every day of your life wake up and be under the care of somebody that may lash out at you again and live in that constant fear? That's horrible. That's a horrible thing. And you know what? If you are a parent who decides that, you know, a little swat on the bottom with your hand is necessary sometimes, every professional I've ever known who knew anything about child development said that should be done by age 6. That kind of, if you ever do that by 6, not 14.
In other words, you stop at 6 is what you're saying.
You stop at 6. Mm-hmm. If you and there's never this belt, this board, this kind, never. Oh my goodness. So I'm glad you called. We're going to have you hang on the line here. I want to talk to you a little bit. I'm going to send How We Love Our Kids, and maybe that'll give you some insight there. But, you know, it's so easy, Mylon, I think you're pointing to this, to say, look at this cruel man. And you miss the fact that somebody's letting this cruel man be cruel.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that.
Well, and odds are he's replicating
yep.
his own history.
Yeah, I believe we were saying life makes sense. You don't just one day decide, I think I'm going to beat my children with a belt until they're 14.
Right. No, he's replicating his history of hurt and abuse or neglect, and because that's all he knows how to do. Now, she alluded to the fact that he's learning new things and alternatives, but these kids are really through their formative years, which is, you know, through the, you know, 8 years old and 10 is those are your formative years. And now how do we undo, or how does the system or the family or the church undo what has happened to a 10, 12, and 14-year-old? A lot has to happen, and that family needs to have a lot of help as a family. And I hope
sure
that
do.
Sally, you're right in terms of what you want. And I really, you're asking a question, and we're giving you an answer, and we encourage you to call CPS and ask some questions and get some help for that family.
You bet. And we encourage you to ask your daughter to do the right thing.
Yep.
Not the easy thing. We'll take another break here, come back, final segment. If you want to join us for a program right after this, 1-800-229-3000. That is our number, 1-800-229-3000. We'll be back.
My wife asked me for the first time in 2011 if I would consider myself a sex addict, so I signed up. You know, I'd read the Every Man's Battle book, and it was a great book, but the workshop, it was the experience that really was key for me. If they go to EMB, they're going to be in good hands. You know, this is a safe place. They're going to be surrounded by men that simply walk the talk. The weekend leaders that they will go through this workshop with, they'll help them to get to the root of their issues. You know, I've been through a number of well-preached sermons, listened to and read countless books, been to a number of seminars, but EMB for me was a game changer. It truly saved my life. Being in this community, being in this workshop, being around these men will change them if they'll let them. You're going to encounter men that will meet you where you're at, and you will instantly walk into a safe place where they're welcome.
If you're struggling, call us. We don't want you to go on struggling. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
You know, spare the rod, spoil the child. I've heard some people interpret that to say, you know, maybe that's really the rod of a shepherd who uses it to reach down and rescue that little sheep. Jesus is so very clear about hurting these little ones and the consequences of that. Might as well just take a big old cement block, tie it around your neck, and jump in the ocean with it. I mean, it's, you know, he says, their angels are in the presence of my Father, making sure he doesn't miss anything. If you have been abused, your angels are right there in the presence of God, according to Jesus. And while we have free choice and God doesn't prevent evil things, he's there, and he's there to help you heal, and it has not been missed on his part. But I'm telling you, folks, there are better ways to discipline. Oh my goodness, tragic. Okay, we're going to go to the final caller. And that's going to be, let's go with Maureen, Orlando, Florida. Hi, Maureen. How you doing?
Hi, good day. I was praying that, you know, you called me. Thank you so very much for taking in my call.
What can we help you with?
I am just so overwhelmed. So I'm constantly being accused by my husband of being unfaithful. I am constantly being accused of saying that, you know, that I'm a hypocrite. He left church. We used to be going to church together. He left the church, and he said he left the church as a result of me being too friendly to the pastor. And it's just
now, have you ever? Let me ask you this: have you ever been unfaithful to him?
I've never been unfaithful. When I got married to my husband, I was a virgin.
Are you aware of his unfaithfulness to you?
I can't say that. Being the kind of person that he is, I don't see no traits of unfaithfulness in him. But I think he's not insecure. He's very insecure. And it's the insecurity and the control. It's like it has just taken over. And it's like I just can't take any more. It's like he don't believe me.
Yeah,
no matter what I say, I just don't have a happy home. It's like every time you go home, you expect a home to be a place where there's communication, where there's love, and it's like I just don't get that. It's just always a grumpiness, you know. It's always an accusation.
I'm so sorry.
I'm just tired of that, you know. I want to expand. It's like I'm just not celebrated. Everything that I try to do, and I try to get his input, it's like he just stays silent. Sometimes I'm saying he's always wrong. I have my share to blame.
Well, hold on. I want to hear what Mylon's thinking as he's hearing you share this. Mylon, what are your thoughts here? This is a sad situation.
Maureen, this would be exhausting to have to live under the constant accusation by your husband of unfaithfulness or... I think your assessment is interesting and quite accurate, actually, that he's insecure, and because of his insecurity, he's controlling. I think you're right on there, and I would take that hunch that you have and that intuition that you have, and I would do something with it. And I think that the answer is to have more people involved. Did he attend that church with you?
Yes.
Okay.
We used to go to church there.
But you don't go there anymore?
I go to church there. I serve there, you know?
Yes, you serve there.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's where, you know, all of our children, you know, were born and dedicated at that church.
Okay.
He walked away from the Lord since 2014, and he has never gone back to church, no matter what I say. And
okay, so...
I feel like I am the scapegoat.
Okay, so, yeah, and that's horrible to be the scapegoat for that. What I would do is I would... read Matthew 18, which says if a person is doing something wrong, you're supposed to go to them and ask them to get help. If they won't do that, you're supposed to take two people with you to also appeal to the person to get help. And so the church is supposed to be involved in an ever-increasing pressure to exert influence, a positive influence, over this person's life.
Especially if she's ministering.
Absolutely. And so what I would do is I would, you know, ask some men in the church to talk to him about the insecurity that he feels with you serving there and what that means, and to find somebody in the church that has a lot of wisdom who's not just going to come and tell him what to do and make statements to him, but people who will ask him questions. Do you have any counselors in the church, Maureen? Maureen, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Okay, I can now.
Can you hear me?
I can now. Yeah. Do you have any counselors in the church?
Not on a wide scale. I mean, it's more secular rather than you may. Okay. As a matter of fact, I think probably I need a counselor more than he does.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
Go ahead, Steve.
No matter what he does.
Go ahead, Steve.
No matter what he does, you need to get some help. But I want to encourage you to talk with maybe the pastor's wife if he's jealous of the pastor. Maybe you talk with the pastor's wife first.
But that's the thing, sir. You know, I have done all of that. The pastor's wife has come to my home.
Okay.
You know, he respects the pastor's wife very much. He has come to
my
home. The pastor has reached out to him, and he's like, he said to the pastor, I will talk to you, and he just walked away from him. Pastor.
So I wish we had more time, but I'm literally out of time. And I just think, you know, you're going to have to get some help for yourself, and that counselor that you get help from, we'll try to help you find one, that counselor is going to help you on a day-to-day basis figure out what is the best strategy. You're not going to be able to figure this out just going to somebody one time. You're going to have to try some different things, but to get support for yourself and keep yourself as healthy as you can. But, man, this is tough, and we absolutely feel for you. Well, I'm just about out of time. I want you to know that if you need some help, we want to help you. We have some amazing things coming up that could really change everything, our Restore workshop, and then this brand-new workshop, Finding Freedom. I've shared with you some of the things that happened there, men and women coming together in separate groups, just doing some amazing work on some habits or things that just seem to be lingering, some resentments, bitternesses get cleared up. It was an amazing experience, and that's in May. Every man's battle is every month, and you know the kind of victory that these men are experiencing at every man's battle, and that could be your story too, or the story of someone you love. But, you know, Restore coming right up, and there is so much healing with other women. You think you're the only one, then you go to that, and oh my goodness, the world of healing and connection opens up. So call us if you've been struggling. We've got something for you. You might not need a workshop. You call us. Let us help you figure out what would be the very best thing for you. It is 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And if you support this ministry, think about joining Club New Life. We'll send you these four great videos by Mylon and Kay. And thank you, Mylon, for being with me today. Your wisdom is always, always right on target. Call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE in the next program right now, 1-800-229-3000. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.